have a morning after reaction to the Michael Cohen testimony, President Trump's longtime former lawyer. He told the House Oversight Committee in more than 7 hours of testimony that he would no longer protect President Trump.
I am ashamed of my own failings and publicly accepted responsibility for them by pleading guilty in the Southern District of New York. I am ashamed of my weakness and my misplaced loyalty, of the things I did for Mr. Trump in an effort to protect and promote him.
Michael Cohen also faulted the president for remarks that Cohen called racist.
I am ashamed that I chose to take part in concealing Mr. Trump's illicit acts rather than listening to my own conscience. I am ashamed because I know what Mr. Trump is. He is a racist, he is a con man, and he is a cheat.
Republican lawmakers rejected Cohen's allegations outright, pointing that he has been sentenced to 3 years in prison and has pleaded guilty to tax evasion, campaign finance violations, and lying to Congress. What did you hear as Cohen testified in front of Congress? Did you listen the entire time, or did you tune in for news coverage instead? And what should people take away from this hearing? Let's talk about it at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Elisa von Hagel is an associate professor of political science at UW-Superior. Elisa, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me this morning. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, we've heard the headlines. You watched hours of testimony. Was there a smoking gun to you? What was your biggest takeaway?
The biggest takeaway, I think, is what a lot of people were expecting, is just overall the very high degree of polarization between the Republicans and the Democrats. It seems that each side really kept to the party line on this one, and rarely were there any deviations with respect to the Democrats inquiring and trying to tease out more and more information on some of these issues that will directly, or at least they believe will directly implicate the president, and the Republicans pretty narrowly, pretty strictly sticking to the party line of trying to impugn his record, to reinforce over and over again the lying to Congress prior by Michael Cohen, also the fraud or the tax fraud and the violations that will send him to jail. And so it was, as you mentioned, a very long day, but very, very interesting in the polarization and the, you know, stark party divisions that was seen on both sides.
Did we get any further, though, on whether he knew whether President Trump had colluded with Russia?
There was a little bit of discussion of the Moscow Trump Tower in Russia. There's certainly not the smoking gun or evidence or testimony that directly implicates the president, although that's certainly something that the Mueller investigation has been focused on primarily over the past year or so. And so that, you know, if there is any connections with the Trump campaign and Russia, that is something that was not necessarily going to be the key takeaway from yesterday's testimony by Cohen, but something that will maybe most likely be dealt with when Mueller reports the sends his report out to Congress of his investigation.
Well, getting back to Trump Tower, one thing we learned yesterday is the president's legal team changed Cohen's earlier testimony to Congress in 2017, specifically about the timing of the Trump Tower project in Moscow, which was never completed, but it's been scrutinized by the Mueller probe. And let's listen to Cohen.
There were several changes that were made, including how we were going to handle that message.
Mr.
Which
Grove,
was,
will you finish?
Yes, so the message, of course, being the length of time that the Trump Tower Moscow project stayed and remained alive.
So if this testimony was false, edited, would this be lawful?
So if it is, in fact, comes out that the president, his campaign, knew and continued on with the Moscow Trump, the deal, sorry, in Moscow over the Trump Tower, well into his presidency, even during the campaign, that's certainly an issue that would certainly raise a red flag and could potentially lead towards impeachment down the road. But again, we have yet to, I think, have a as you note, a smoking gun or direct evidence as of yet. But that's something that we will most likely find out more when Mueller sends his report to Congress.
Talking with Elisa von Hagel, an associate professor of political science at UW-Superior, looking at the testimony of the president's former attorney, Michael Cohen. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Did you watch this testimony? What did you make of what he had to say? Are you buying his claims or are you skeptical? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Michael now in La Crosse. Michael, what did you see out of the testimony?
Hi. I watched a lot of it on Wednesday, and I think I believe Cohen for two reasons. One, I don't really think he has any reason to lie anymore. And two, I think he provided a lot of solid evidence to back up his claims. I'm sure there's more that could be uncovered, and you'll probably learn more, but I think he really did provide a lot of evidence for it.
And when you say a lot of solid evidence, what in particular rose to the top to you?
I think the checks that Donald Trump signed for his reimbursements are really sort of the smoking gun for me, at least. That kind of was like, okay, this seems pretty believable. I guess that was sort of what I thought mostly.
Elisa, what do you see there?
Yeah, so Cohen presented a copy of a check from a personal check from the president himself that was part of a reimbursement for the payment that was made to Stormy Daniels. It was directly before or right after the Access Hollywood story came out in October, right before the election, and the Stormy Daniels story had potential to come out right afterwards. And so, as Cohen noted, there was an effort to make sure to catch the story and to kill it, whether it's through the payment to Stormy Daniels that he said that he provided the funds for originally and since have been getting reimbursed for, but also to ensure that the story would not be available to the news media.
Let's go to BJ now in Madison with thoughts. BJ, hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing today? I watched a lot of the coverage, and mostly what I was looking for is some sort of, the two things that I wanted to hear is because in his opening statements, he said that Donald Trump was a racist and a con man and a cheat. The con man and cheat thing, I think most of us as Americans, you know, he's a billionaire, he's a New York guy, you know, business, that's kind of like, you know, to me, that wasn't really important to me. What was more important to me is the racist charge and the Russian collusion charge. And I was very disappointed with Michael Cohen's testimony in that way, because when he was asked about what evidence he had that Donald Trump was racist, what he said was, well, in the Trump organization, there's no people of color in executive positions. That's a pretty weak statement to call someone a racist. And also, when it came to the Russian collusion case, he said that he didn't have any evidence, but only suspicions. And it just was really disappointing, again, to see our political process the way it is, that, you know, the rhetoric is just very, very volatile. And there's no real evidence towards the charges that actually mean anything to, like, me. Personally, you see what I'm saying?
BJ, thank you so much for those thoughts. And BJ, really looking there at the rhetoric and what is behind it, Elisa?
We saw a very partisan message on both sides, as the caller noted, that there wasn't a lot in terms of documentation or clear direct evidence linking the president to any Russian collusion. But again, that is something that is being dealt with by the Mueller investigation.
Talking with UW-Superior's Elisa von Hagel, our guide to yesterday's testimony. Your thoughts on it at 800-642-1234. How do you think members of the House handled the Cohen testimony? Did members of one party make more of an impact? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation in a minute right here on the Ideas Network. We're gathering reaction from you, hearing thoughts from around Wisconsin, as Michael Cohen, the president's former lawyer, testified for more than 7 hours to the House Oversight Committee. Cohen's 2017 congressional testimony before the Senate and House Intelligence Committees led to a guilty plea last November for lying under oath about President Trump's business dealings in Russia. Here he is yesterday in testimony. He was talking about the
Before Congress, I came to protect Mr. Trump. Today, I am here to tell the truth about Mr. Trump.
Do you think Michael Cohen is a credible and reliable witness? Are you looking at the line of questioning from lawmakers? What stood out to you? And what do you think this means regarding the investigations in the president and his administration? There's a voice for you at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Elisa von Hagel is an associate professor of political science at UW-Superior, and she joins us from the WPR studio in Superior. Elisa, Cohen is going to prison this spring for lying to Congress, and supporters of the president are pretty quick to call Cohen a liar. Representative Glenn Grothman of Wisconsin suggested that Cohen was just offering up information about his relationship with the president to reduce his prison sentence. How should we consider his credibility?
I mean, that both sides are trying to paint a narrative of Michael Cohen, and certainly he is going to jail for 3 years, as was noted by several Republican members on the committee. And it was very, very fascinating, just the reinforcement of that theme throughout the entire day of testimony, that if he lied before Congress in years past, how do we know that he's not lying today? There was also so much discussion of potential book deals or movie deals on the part of Cohen in the future. And again, they're really trying to hammer in this point that, you know, he lied before in front of Congress. He engaged in, you know, fraud prior to this. And he, you know, potentially, at least they're trying to paint him as somebody who could potentially profit from this in the future.
Let's go to Mary now, joining us from Pewaukee. Hi, Mary.
Yes, hi. I wanted to say, well, to your last guest, BJ, what he had said was, I think that if Cohen was lying, he would have gone to the lengths of talking about collusion of Trump, and he did not, collusion with Russia. And so just let the part that was compelling to me, and I watched the whole thing, was when Michael Cohen warned Republicans, I did the same thing you're doing now. Let that sink in. I did the same thing you're doing now, and that is exactly what the Republicans were doing all day, is trying to point out that Cohen was still lying as he did before. I believed him. I think his whole his old testimony was very believable yesterday, that he wants to relieve himself of some of this guilt and push our nation forward the way it should be, not with immoral behavior, as is Trump and his entire administration.
Elisa, was this a poignant moment for you?
I think that his repeated apologies to Congress as a body for his previous lies before them, but also his repeated apologies to his family members for what he's now putting them through, was really a very stark moment too, in terms of he appeared very contrite and seemed to be very deeply sorry for what he had caused thus far, and how his, as he characterized it, his ambition and loyalty led him to do things that he normally would not have done.
Let's go to Elaine now, joining us from Colfax. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I listened on the radio all day, and I found his voice compelling, just the way he answered. He enunciated very well, like when he said he was a racist, a con man. Just he emphasized those words so they were clear. And I felt like every question he answered was candid. His answer was candid, and if he didn't know, he said he didn't know. And he didn't go to the lengths of guessing what was in Trump's mind. He would say how he spoke and how you jumped when he spoke. Just you kind of got the message if you knew him. But one thing that was a detail that was interesting was when he, Cohen said that he would offer people that worked for Trump basically zero on a bill or some small fraction of what they were owed. And he did this regularly, which is a kind of, it seemed almost like a mob kind of tactic on Trump's part. And also that later another questioner asked him, And he stated that he bullied people regularly, and she said 100 times, and he said no, 200 times, and then he said no, and then she said 500 times, and he said yes. In 10 years, he probably bullied someone, seriously bullied and violated them 500 times, which is once a week in 10 years. So in essence, I don't really care how contrite he is. I think he's scared about going to jail. I don't know if it matters, if it's real, but what matters is he was telling the truth now.
So Elaine is saying there that he was telling the truth, and she's taking a couple different points from the testimony. Alisa?
I think your caller, her initial statement was spot on in terms of in his tone overall. He was very contrite, but also very definitive in terms of what he was stating of, again, not sort of equivocating or even losing his cool or his composure during the most of the day. And so he was really very clear in what he was there to tell them. And he was also quite clear and distinct with respect to what he couldn't speculate on. And I think his composure that was maintained for most of the testimony anyway was quite impressive. And there was even moments of levity from Cohen himself. And so it really was amazing his ability to stay on his own message, on to not be provoked into, some of the baits perhaps that have been set by Republicans or questions along those lines. And again, as the caller noted, which I think is important, that he was very clear in what he did not know or what he believed he should not be speculating upon.
Well, let's move to how President Trump is reacting to this. And John in Bangor has been looking at that. John, go ahead.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to comment on the Cohen trial itself. I think he had a lot of time and a lot of testimony when he was being tried, and I don't really think he could give any more new relevant information. I feel like it was a distraction from the negotiations going on in Vietnam with Trump and
North Korea. Well, President Trump has responded hours after Cohen gave testimony, calling the entire thing shameful during a presser with reporters overnight. And here is the president about what he says is the only thing that wasn't a lie.
He lied a lot, but it was very interesting because he didn't lie about one thing. He said no collusion with the Russian hoax.
So what do we take away from the president's response so far, Alisa?
I mean, it is quite fascinating, as a lot of newscasters have already mentioned, the sort of split-screen vision on TV news, the president meeting with the leader of North Korea and Vietnam over talks regarding sanctions and denuclearization, and then we have the split-screen, the other side, with Cohen before Congress. It's really a very fascinating, stark picture between the two, and certainly we knew ahead of time that the president was not happy with his testimony this morning, that he had come out very much, again, in opposition to Cohen and did, as many of the Republicans did, try to paint him as a liar, as somebody who was not coming before Congress yesterday to share what was accurate or the truth.
The president also said scheduling Cohen's testimony during this summit was a terrible thing. Is it possible that what was happening here on Capitol Hill had any impact on other areas and the president that were being worked out with the North Korean leader?
I mean, it's hard to speculate what impact this will or won't have on the negotiations in North Korea going on. But I mean, it's, you know, there's, as I think a few callers have noted, there wasn't anything that was too terribly shocking or new. And it was a lot of what we kind of already had heard before in other veins or in other reporting by the New York Times or the Washington Post. And so there wasn't any, I mean, there were surprises, no doubt, and, you know, in many small different ways. But overall, the message is not, you know, terribly new. And so in terms of that effect on the negotiations, it's, you know, very difficult to tell how much the, you know, other countries or heads of state are, you know, paying attention to this, how much it's affecting their abilities to interact or to negotiate with the president. I think it's too early to know what that impact will be.
Is having a hearing like this, what precedent exists for this kind of testimony? Where do we stand with that?
Well, there has been a lot of comparisons to the John Dean testimony against sitting President Nixon in 1973. Again, I don't not to say that it's exactly the same in terms of, you know, what happened 14 months later with Nixon resigning, but there have been quite a few comparisons to that. And so it is something that is relatively distinct in terms of a, you know, a person that was with the Trump team for the past 10 years coming forward and sharing just so many unique and different portraits of the president.
Talking with Alisa von Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Superior. She's joining us from WPR Studios in Superior as we react all morning here to the Michael Cohen testimony before Congress yesterday. The president's longtime attorney facing a 3-year prison sentence, and he'll be meeting privately today with the House Intelligence Committee. We'll continue our conversation with you, 800-642-1234. What do you think this testimony has meant for the state of our discourse right now? What do you think this means for policy efforts moving forward? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. News is coming up next. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're continuing our exploration of the public testimony yesterday by former Trump attorney Michael Cohen. He faces a 3-year prison sentence. He'll meet privately today with the House Intelligence Committee. And we're taking your calls. How are you feeling about all of this? Call in with your analysis of the testimony. What stuck out to you? The political response, 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Alisa von Hagel is an associate professor of political science at UW-Superior. She is joining us from our studios there, and she watched yesterday's testimony. Let's go back to the phones now with Jerry joining us from Lake Mills. Jerry, hi.
Hi.
What are your thoughts?
I was quite taken back by particularly the Republican questioning, not only the questioning, but the tirade that they lashed out against Mr. Cohen before they even asked a question. You know, most of these people are in the pockets of the coal, oil, gas, NRA organizations. And so I would really like to see the turnabout. I would like to see them on the stand being questioned. I mean, they are in the business of passing laws.
Jerry, I want to ask you, though, I want to ask you, as you saw Republican lawmakers provoking Cohen, as you say, what was Cohen's response to you? How do you feel like he fielded that?
Well, I think he was quite straightforward, and the inference was, well, if you discovered this about Mr. Trump's character, why did you continue with him? And I think the public could ask the politicians the same question.
Alisa,
and I don't think they would come out very squeaky clean.
Alisa, as we look at the questioning, the line of questioning from members of Congress yesterday, what did you see there from Republicans? How did they approach the hearing?
I mean, it was, I think, fairly uniform in nature. There was, as I stated, a direct efforts to impugn his record and his calling up his previous testimony that he has since recanted and said was a lie that he has been prosecuted for. Also, again, I think what was interesting, the continual referrals back to potential book deals, to movie deals, to TV movie deals. And Mr. Cohen stated on numerous occasions that he has been approached but has not entered into any arrangements, financial arrangements for any book deals. There was a member of Congress, a Republican, who asked if he would swear before the committee that he would not do so in the future. Cohen did not say that he would do so, but it was interesting, this constant referral back to what the potential buyouts that he could, or not buyouts, but money he could reap from his testimony and before Congress, but also in terms of his experience and time with the president and his company.
What tone did we see come from Democrats, and what struck you there, especially from Republican, especially from the new class of Democrats?
We saw, I think, an arrange of approaches by the Democrats. They were certainly more willing to engage in direct questioning regarding, the statements that he had made in his written testimony from the very beginning, and inquiring into what he knew, what he didn't know, what the president could be potentially held liable for in the future. And so there was quite a range from the new members. There was a lot of speculation of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's quite a popular new member of Congress. And I think that they, again, very mirrored much of the Democratic response in terms of, you know, taking his claim seriously to heart and to really try to inquire, to probe further. There was a lot of discussion or a lot of questions regarding other individuals that the committee could speak to. And so there were a number of names that were thrown out throughout the day that Democrats were very interested, it seemed, as if to get other names, other individuals who work for the Trump organization, but also for the campaign and the administration for their perhaps inquiries in the future.
Let's go to Mike now, joining us from Shell Lake. Mike, hi. What's on your mind about the testimony?
All that I could see from Michael Cohen was a man that was trying to save his own skin to an extent.
And you're breaking up a little bit, but trying to save his own skin.
Well, I think he's trying to get his sentence reduced in any way possible. This is a man that the Democrats loathe him. And anybody that will say anything detrimental to Trump, they'll eat up and love. So it just, to me, the testimony was nothing.
So did you find it political theater?
Did I find it what?
Political theater.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you watch?
I watched most of it.
Elisa, go ahead. Uh-huh. Finish what you're saying.
Yeah, all I can see is a man that is just trying to get out of what he's got himself into.
Well, Elisa, I think this is a really good point, and we have the time for this. House Oversight and Reform Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings, he closed yesterday's hearing with a really impassioned plea for lawmakers to get back to normal, and he was really quite emotional toward Cohen.
You come saying I had made my mistakes, but now I want to change my life. And you know, if we as a nation did not give people an opportunity after they made mistakes to change their lives, a whole lot of people would not do very well.
And then he went on to say that we are so much better than this as a country. What can we take away there from Chairman Cummings' words?
He had there was a number of different points throughout the day's testimony where his leadership and was very much needed and was, I think, very well received. And I think he was very clear in terms of, you know, attempting to have a committee hearing that was above board, that was at least as much as could be nonpartisan as possible, although we know that's certainly perhaps maybe impossible in this day and age. But he seemed to accept, as did many Democrats, Cohen's heartfelt apologies for what he had done in the past. And again, I think that whether or not you believe Cohen is clearly a very political issue, nothing that happened yesterday probably changed anyone's mind on either side, either Democrats or Republicans. And I don't know that anybody was really expecting that to happen. But we certainly saw, at least for the most part, a very well-ordered and well-managed day of testimony from the chairman himself.
Well, let's go to Eric now, joining us from Madison. Eric, hi.
Hi, hello. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for all your great programming. I really enjoy it. I wanted to reply to your earlier caller, but I believe he had it backwards. The congressional hearing was scheduled first, and I believe, from my understanding, the Trump set up the Korean summit to kind of distract from the hearing. And furthermore, Cohen lied and cheated and stole and intimidated, and his behavior was under the direction of Trump. This was not to further his agenda. It was to further Trump's agenda.
Eric, I want to pause right there. Alisa, first of all, the order of events. What did we know about the setup of this summit and the timing?
I guess I'm not certain with respect to the caller's assertion regarding the timing of this. Certainly it is something that the president would want to detract attention from, the days-long testimony from Michael Cohen. And so I guess I'm not familiar with the scheduling when this came about. However, certainly, if I, you know, was the president or in the administration, one would certainly want to engage in, you know, some activity to distract from what's happening, given the high-profile nature of the events, the, you know, very clear ways in which we already knew that Cohen was going to speak ill of the president or in terms of what was his dealings with the president. And so with respect to that, it certainly was a, you know, an event in terms of his trip to Vietnam that he hoped anyway would detract from Cohen's testimony. But again, I'm not for certain on the timing or the scheduling of both.
Well, let's go to Russell now in Marshall. Russell, hi. What are your thoughts on the testimony?
Well, the previous caller kind of took some of my thunder. He did make the point that, they're trying to hammer at Cohen as being an uncredible witness because he was convicted of lying. Well, yeah, he was convicted of lying on behalf of Trump. And now if you're going to say that that was not credible, well, then why is Cohen convicted in the first place?
Right, because when you saw Republicans saying you're a liar and Cohen saying, well, yes, I am.
Yeah, and I lied. Why? Not to defend Trump.
So
I got caught at it.
Alisa, that line of questioning there from Republicans really stuck out to Russell there, that Cohen said, well, yes, I am a liar.
Yes, and he absolutely was very willing to own up to his what he saw as his own personal failings over the past decade while working as a personal lawyer for the president. And he was quite clear that he engaged in quite a number of things that he did not, he now regrets and sees that was just merely a product of, A, his own personal ambition, but also his loyalty to this, you know, to the president, to the Trump the leader of the Trump organization. And so that was quite clear throughout the day that he was willing to admit those past mistakes.
Talking about the testimony of the president's former attorney, Michael Cohen, 7 hours about yesterday. Hearing your thoughts from what you got out of it, 800-642-1234. Did you watch? Did you listen? What did you make of it all? 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In this hour, we've been digging into the testimony of former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, who answered in a lengthy public hearing yesterday with the U.S. House of Representatives Congressional Oversight Committee. Meanwhile, the president is in Vietnam, having just tied up a summit with the North Korean leader, and he said he watched some of the testimony, calling it a fake hearing. Here's the President Trump.
This should never happen to another president. This is so bad for our country. So bad. You look at this whole hoax. I call it the Russian witch hunt. I now add the word hoax. It's a very, very bad thing for our country.
So there's a line as we weigh in, as we consider the political aftermath of the Cohen testimony. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Alisa von Hagel joins us from the WPR studios in Superior and is associate professor of political science at UW-Superior. So we've been looking at reaction, Alisa, from Wisconsin's lawmakers on the Hill. And Senator Tammy Baldwin wrote that President Trump's longtime personal lawyer provided provided compelling testimony under oath that paints what she said, a very dark picture. She also called the documents he gave Congress prompt, deeply questions. Is she in line with other Democrats?
Well, it certainly is a theme that we see in among many of the Democrats who are on the committee, but also in terms of the other Democrats that were not present at that hearing. And while there's very few who are perhaps, there was one member of the Democratic Party at that hearing that called Cohen's story a story of redemption. And I don't know if there were individuals, everyone in the Democratic Party would be willing to go that far. However, there certainly seems a much greater willingness to accept his testimony that he was providing and to take it very seriously and to probe further, to look for other players in the Trump organization, the campaign, the administration, to get at the truth, to ask further questions to. And so it seems that they are taking this very seriously, despite his, the accusations of the fraud, the lying that happened previously.
Well, Wisconsin Democrat Congressman Mark Pocan was on Sirius XM radio yesterday talking about the hearings, and let's take a listen to a bit.
None of this is out of the realm of reality, although it is out of the realm of normalcy, the fact that this is happening today and that we have a president who very likely has done the things that are being described today. I'm hoping that at some point we can raise that bar again for people who run for president so we can have someone that the country actually admires and respects.
So Congressman Pocan there, foreshadowing perhaps 2020, what impact there? Well, what do you hear?
It's so hard to tell. There's, obviously speculation of the upcoming election, and it's, a million and a half things could happen until then. And as I always say, after 2016, I've given up making predictions about elections anymore. But certainly this is something major. And again, it's important to remember this isn't happening in a vacuum. There's a whole array of other investigations of, people who have been arrested, prosecuted, found guilty for different crimes, whether they were in the Trump campaign with the organization. And so this is just one piece of a really broad array of issues that are facing the president, his administration, and his corporation. And so it's important to remember that yesterday's testimony, while compelling and just a very powerful narrative offered by Cohen throughout the day, it's just one small part of a whole huge array of things that we still don't even know what the implications of, the immediate outcomes for, the long-term effects. And so this certainly, no doubt, will play a role in 2020, but as will much of the other issues that are going on now as well.
Let's go to Caleb now in Bosco Belt. Caleb, hi.
Hi. Say, I just wanted to point out the fact that Cohen has a history of what I would define as a bad character with his tax evasion that has nothing to do with Trump. Also, I just wanted to point out the fact that if the tables were turned and this was to benefit the Republicans, they would be acting the exact same way as the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party would be acting the exact same way as the Republicans. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you, Caleb, pointing out that this could happen to either party.
Right, and I think it's what I think is compelling of that the last caller had stated is that, depending upon who is in power, the opposing party will act in exactly the same fashion as we saw the Republicans acting yesterday, which I think is very dispiriting to the American people, that regardless of one's position or one's support of the president or not, the American people certainly just want to have a resolution, but to also, get at the truth. And it's very hard to, be able to wade through all of the partisan bickering, all of the statements that are being made either in support of the president, in opposition. And so I think this just adds to that growing polarization and the sense of, the one side digging in their heels, the other side doing the same. And there's really no effective resolution in sight, at least in terms of resolving these broad questions that we have. And so that certainly will continue to cause suspicion on both sides of the other. And, again, whether or not this will happen, again, in the future, or whether or not it is, you know, potentially going to happen to a future Democratic president. You know, time will tell what effect this has on our, you know, our country as a whole, and how it impacts the behavior of future leaders is just something we certainly cannot even begin to understand at this point.
Well, we have time for just one more call. Let's go to Roz joining us from Stevens Point. Roz, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I would just like to comment on how much I appreciated the very end of Cohen's presentation, where he spoke directly to the president, saying no more this, no more that, listing all the various behaviors. I really feel that added even more truth to what Cohen was saying and what the challenges are. Sadly, I don't think Trump will own up to any of that, but I really liked that at the end.
Well, and let's look closely at Cohen's closing statement. He was allowed to give one. He said, I fear if he loses the election in 2020, there will never be a peaceful transition of power. And then in Chairman Cummings' closing statement, he said the greatest gift is to make sure we can give them is a democracy that's intact. So, you know, what does all this say in your eyes about the state of our democracy?
I mean, it seems cliche at this point to say that it's polarization can never, you know, reach a higher peak at some point, but it seems to multiply daily in terms of the stark divisions that divide not only our elected officials and the parties, but even among the people. And I think that it's, you know, many will see, as the Republicans did yesterday, to say, how on earth is this a credible witness? And regardless of what information he provides, regardless of what documentation or evidence he provides, there's going to be, you know, people in the Republican Party, as well as others who are in support of the president, who will just reject any findings of evidence or assertions made by Cohen or anybody else against the president. And so that is certainly problematic, that both sides will, again, perhaps could certainly avoid or ignore evidence. And that is problematic in terms of, again, the future for our country of fair treatment and equity in terms of how we judge the actions and behaviors of candidates and their time in office, which, you know, one hopes that we turn a corner on this degree of polarization, but it does not seem to be in the future as of yet.
Alisa, in the final seconds, you're a college professor. You're in front of students every day. How will you talk about this in your classroom?
Oh, well, we did watch, in one of my classes, we did watch the very first part of it. And, I mean, it is hard. I mean, it's, as many students noted while we were listening in, that it was, you know, merely a circus, that it was just, I mean, it was, unfortunately, I mean, it was funny in terms of the line of questioning at times and the way he was treated. And so it is hard to, I think, talk to students about what the reality is of what is going on in our government, but also reinforce the importance of our institutions and the fair and equitable treatment of our leaders. And so it's, you know, it's a balancing act in terms of taking it seriously, but also recognizing that, you know, we do have to move on and preserve the our institutions for the future.
Well, Alisa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful to be here.
Alisa von Hagel is an associate professor of political science at UW-Superior, joining us from WPR studios in Superior to break down the Cohen testimony and the political response, and your response as well. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thank you for listening to the Ideas Network.